Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Pooja! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back. I'm not. Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Matt, hopefully you enjoyed the NFL draft. Locked On Bears had coverage all weekend long. It was a very, very good draft. The excitement was a parallel to some of the excitement we felt back in November with the NBA draft and even at the deadline with some moves that were unexpected. Before we get into all of the depressing news about this Bulls team over the weekend, how are you? How was your weekend? And were you satisfied with the Bears draft?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Shout out to all of our YouTube subscribers, 200 plus and growing. I loved it. It was a great weekend for the Bears after my expectations were low. Stoked about Justin Fields. Beefing up the offensive line as well. Couple of late round flyers on a running back and a wide receiver here and there. So yeah, man, I'm stoked about that. And conversely, I'm ready for this bull season to end. I mean, I'm ready. Packing it in. I know you and I are going to talk about the potential organized and scripted tank losses that the Bulls had on Friday and Saturday this weekend. I think there's sufficient evidence to say that the Bulls are not actually trying to get that play in right now.
So yeah, after we were done doing the episode on Friday, I was like, all right, we'll see. You know, even without Zach, I still think coming out of this weekend 1-1 would be all right. And even if you came out of it 2-1, considering today's game against the Sixers, still have a chance at that 10th spot to play in the play-in. After I saw Markkanen get scratched like 20 minutes before the game in a Giannis-less Bucks team, like the Bucks, we let Bobby Portis do Bobby Portis things against us, dude.
It was coming.
That was a winnable game. The game against Atlanta was a winnable game. It irritates me because I didn't see it coming, but they had it full well in their minds starting on Friday that this is going to be every effort they can make to try and lose games to better their position. That's how I feel, because there's no other explanation why Markkanen gets scratched 20 minutes before the game. We're told Vooch is going to play against Atlanta, and then now he's not going to play 10 minutes before the game starts. He explained the hip thing, but why is this the first time we're hearing about this? Again, I got a lot of questions and not too many answers, Matt. What did you feel like this weekend?
Well, okay, so with Lowry, and then also parentheses, Felicio too, not that that matters, he's not in the rotation, they were both listed as, you know, game time scratches for non-COVID related illness. We did learn that the Bulls team got their second doses of the vaccination shots on Thursday last week. So perhaps, judging by the timeline of when people do feel side effects, and the side effects from the second dose, if you get the Pfizer or the Moderna, are more significant for the second dose, and that it's about a 12 to 24 hour delay from when you get the shot to when you feel those side effects. It could be that Lowry and Felicio were both just a little feverish or a little fatigued from their second dose of the vax, and that that was enough for Donovan to say, all right, guys, you know what? We're not really trying too hard to win these games right now, because we take a look at where we are in the standings. We still don't have Zach back. And AK and Eversley probably know it's in their best interest to lose the rest of these games. So to me, that made sense. And then, you know, following the same logic, if it was any minor lingering issue for Vooch, who did play Friday night and then, as you said, was a late scratch Saturday, we see that years back during this rebuild, as you get later into the season, if the Bulls are getting into those, you know, game 70, game 71, game 72, and a guy has even a semblance of an injury that they could legitimately say, here's that injury on the injury report, we're going to sit him tonight, because they knew losing was in their best interest, then it makes all the sense in the world. And given where the Bulls were coming into this weekend, I have no problems with them sitting Lowry and sitting Vooch.
Is it possible that going into the trade deadline, they had all 100% intentions of making the playoffs and trying to compete now, in that Zach being out with the COVID protocols, not exactly getting off to the best foot after the trade deadline, going on a little bit of a losing streak? Is it fair to say that the Bulls front office and or the coaching staff or everybody involved changed plans short term, at least this season, even as of 2 or 3 weeks ago, after seeing all the things that have gone wrong for this Bulls team after the deadline? Is that fair to say, though, that they might have had a mentality going into the trade deadline, and 2 weeks later, bad things happened to this Bulls team and it was unfortunate, but they've gone on a losing streak? Is it fair to say that they could have changed their expectations?
Absolutely, man. I think they probably were aware that it wasn't going to be some light switch change when they made the trades on deadline day to go from the team that was struggling to stay in a playoff picture, even in a weak Eastern Conference, to we're going to just start rattling off wins left and right. We're going to rocket up the standings. I know some Bulls fans predicted that or expected that when they made those trades, but those Bulls fans weren't living in reality. And, you know, I try and bring them back to reality any opportunity where I feel like it's needed, because Bulls fans were drinking the freaking Kool-Aid, and you and I were sitting here doing our, you know, trade deadline day reaction episode talking about how excited we were for these moves that the Bulls made. But I'm pretty sure that even in the immediacy of that happening, I said, y'all, let's see what happens. This is really exciting. The Bulls finally made a big move, acquired another all-star to play with Zach, but these aren't necessarily about the back half of this season. These moves are about next season and beyond. And I think a lot of Bulls fans did not want to hear that and still don't want to hear that. So if they struggled out of the gate dealing with adjusting Donovan's rotation, dealing with adjusting their style of play, and that gauntlet of 9 out of 10 games on the road, all against playoff caliber teams, it didn't go well. So yeah, adjust what your plan is. And AK and Eversley are smart enough to look at the standings and say, oh, well, yeah, it's probably in our best interest to lose now. We might actually keep that top four protected pick.
I feel like that might have been their plan the whole time. You know, they obviously looked ahead at the schedule and they saw that they were going to have to go, the Bulls were going to have to play 9 of 10 games on the road at one stretch coming out of the trade deadline. They saw the matchups and maybe said, you know what, maybe we can do two things here. It's not the worst case scenario if we make the playoffs. If we don't, it lines up perfectly with what we were trying to do short term. The only thing I have a question about is Zach LaVine. Like, who told him that he had to be out an extra week? Was that the NBA or is that the Bulls being cautious? Like, I still have questions about that too, Matt, because after being under COVID protocol and not really knowing about these extra screenings that he was going to have to go to, I saw him on the bench on Friday and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, which is why I think it's fair for you to question, was that an NBA thing or was that a Bulls thing? And maybe, you know, and we addressed the fact that Zach had that tweet that he sent out in frustration about how the protocols are for the birds, I'm fine, I'm ready to play, and then shortly thereafter deleted said tweet. Because, I'm with you. I saw him on the bench, and I was like, I'm pretty sure these players that are being held out for health and safety protocols aren't allowed to sit on the bench with their team until they are cleared. And if they are cleared, it means they're cleared to play. And it sounded from the words we heard from his teammate, Tomas Adoransky, that Zach wasn't even dealing with symptoms. He was asymptomatic. So it's not like, okay, you're cleared, but there's still some lingering effects here that make you feel unready to play. So Zach probably wanted to get back out there and try to push this team and lead this team to the playoffs. And perhaps it was not the NBA, but the Bulls saying, let's give this another week, buddy. Let's give this another week. Last season, when Zach had, I think it was what, like a minor tweaked ankle or a minor tweaked hammy or something in mid-March, right before COVID shut down the league, he had played every single game up to that point that season. But when it was clear the Bulls were not heading to the playoffs, he was like, all right, hey, Zach, how about you take a few nights off and ensure that we stack up some more losses? And your question of, is that possible that was AK and Eversley's plan all along when they made these trades? It was maybe not plan 1A, but I guarantee you it was built into all the different ways that could go, and that they were saying, hey, if it doesn't work out well, we said Zach, we said Vooch, we said whoever, and try and keep our top four pick. It's absolutely fair that was on their table as far as the way that they were planning out the back half of this season.
To me, man, it just doesn't line up with what Zach has said and preached all season. Like, does that really make any sense? I get it's a shitty situation Zach's in, and he's got to make a choice. It's like, come back and win these games, and we're not even guaranteed to make the playoffs. You could also risk injury by coming back a little bit early. You don't want to mess up your money long term. But at the same time, the goal this season has always been, and he's been banging his fist for over a year saying, I want to make the playoffs. I want to make the playoffs and get experience. Like, that's where I don't understand. I don't know what Zach LaVine's position is, and I don't understand why we haven't heard from him either. If he's good enough to sit on the bench but still out with protocols, why can't the media talk to him? Because he clearly has something to say if he tweets something out and then it's deleted 12 hours later. So that's the thing, Matt. We didn't even get confirmation that Zach LaVine tested positive, like we were talking about on Friday. It's all... Satoransky said a couple of things, but he didn't say exactly whether or not Zach did test positive. Nobody's reported that. Why not? I understand maybe that he doesn't want that to be used against him in contract negotiations a year from now, because I guarantee you that will be. In future contracts for guys, you're going to see people get that used against them, saying, oh, well, you had coronavirus 2 years ago. We don't know what the lingering effects are. Those are the types of things I think are being in consideration too, but... For me, man, I still have a lot of questions and don't really know the answers, and I don't know how Zach LaVine truly feels. Was he involved in this? Was he involved in the discussion about what the plan was going to be for the rest of the season once they knew he had to be out for at least 2 weeks? Or is this the front office saying, this is the way that we're going, you're either with us or you're not?
Yeah, and I think that, unfortunately, for this very impatient fan base, we're going to have to wait until we get the answers to those questions. We're going to have to wait until the end of the season. And we will continue to speak on that, Jordan, just in a minute. First, though, wanted to tell you all that today's episode is brought to you by Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company. What you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately. And Indeed skills tests that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
I've got a couple of things on these games, man, but... Is it unfair for me to ask that, to like say, where's as much praise as we've given the front office and the coaching staff and the players this year in year one of this rebuild? I think this is the first thing that's really irritated me, especially because of the circumstances that the Bulls have been in over the last 3 weeks. It irritates me that this is the first time that they haven't been transparent. And while it deals with a sensitive medical issue, I understand that. It's still like, you don't get any clear answers, and we haven't for the last 2.5 weeks. And it's been an important stretch, too, if our mindset the whole time was they're still trying to actively win games. That hasn't been the case now over the last two games. I don't think that they have been trying to actively win those games starting since Friday against the Bucks and Atlanta this weekend, man. That's how I feel. But is it unfair for me to ask, start saying, like, are these unfair questions?
I mean, yes. Do I think they're unfair questions that fans are getting pissed off with these losses, especially, as you said, Friday and Saturday, where it's like we're sitting an all-star who theoretically is healthy enough to play. We're sitting a guy like Lowry who just like late scratch out of nowhere, illness, not COVID-related. Look, in my opinion, Vooch didn't look like himself on Friday night.
Oh, he had the worst start, man.
He started 0 of 8 from the field. I think he was 3 of 13 at halftime. He was 1 of 9 from downtown on that night. Clearly, whatever's bothering him was bothering him to some degree, where he had an awful game. All things considered awful. I think he still put up a 20-point double-double because he's Vooch. But, yeah, so even that to me seems like didn't have a great night Friday, clearly bothered, sit him Saturday. But the question of is it fair to ask those questions, I mean, I'll turn that on its head and ask this question. Have you ever heard a coach, an executive, or a leading veteran, you know, leader of the captain of the team kind of player come out and say, yeah, we lost that game on purpose tonight. Yeah, we're losing games on purpose now because the lottery. Because right now, as the Bulls sit here on Monday, May 5th or May 3rd, with 8 games left to play, they have sole possession of, guess what, 7th in the current NBA draft lottery standings, with a 32% chance of getting into the top 4 and keeping their 2021 first round draft pick. Teams behind them, Toronto and Sacramento, that have one more win than they do, 26% and 20% respectively. Washington and New Orleans, who each have 29 wins compared to Chicago's 26, have a 11.7% chance at jumping into the top 4 each compared to the Bulls. Again, 32% chance or 11% chance. That's a 20% jump in your odds to keep your pick in a top 4 pick in a deep stacked potential franchise-changing talents at the top draft class. But you're not going to come out and say, yeah, we got our eyes on Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs or whoever, so yeah, we lost on purpose tonight. When has that ever been said? So yeah, I think it is unfair for Bulls fans to be like, what's going on? We know what's going on.
I think I've just got salty grape. I've got salty grapes, man. I just, because I was bought into the idea that I think at the deadline, I was still fully convinced that they were going to try to make the playoffs. And I thought, for one, that's something Zach LaVine wanted. And I still believe that is. And maybe it was these COVID protocols that had changed the mentality of this entire team, the direction that they wanted to go to conclude the season. I get that. And other teams have played out of their mind. Circumstances have changed, the Bulls' schedule being one of the most difficult as well. All of that context added in, I get what you're saying. They're not going to come out and exactly say that because they would get hammered with tampering and tanking and all of that. It's smart if it works out, but are Bulls fans going to be frustrated if they end up 7th? It doesn't go the way of jumping up to 4 like they did this November to get Patrick Williams. If it doesn't work that way, are Bulls fans still going to be mad that they didn't make the play and that they didn't aggressively try to win these games at the end here, should it not go the way that we want it to go?
I mean, yes, I could see that frustration. And look, when we made those trades at the deadline, did I get excited for a while thinking, hey, this could propel us into actually making the playoffs, at least the play-in? Yeah, of course I did. I want the Bulls to win. I want them to be competitive, just like every reasonable Bulls fan. I think there is a small portion of this fan base who gets joy, some sick joy, out of watching them fail over and over again. But I would argue that that is not actually a fan. That's a hater. Yeah, I wanted the Bulls to make a push for the playoffs when they made those moves at the trade deadline. Did I think it was a certainty? Far from it. I looked at their schedule. I know that it wasn't going to be some automatic computer-like switch of, we've got these new pieces, here's how they're going to play. It's going to work beautifully, flawlessly, wins and wins and wins. No. Again, if you expected that, you're a freaking idiot. So I knew that them not making the playoffs was still a very real possibility, which I reminded myself, hey, expectations for me at the beginning of this season, playoffs, probably not very likely. Evaluate what you have, make some changes, and we'll go from there. And guess what? They spent a half a season evaluating, and they made some changes. They'll make more this offseason.
I think that's what's frustrating, is just the fact that that could happen. That's a scenario that could happen. They play this entire season. Zach makes his first All-Star game. We missed the play-in game when the playoffs were expanded, and then we also miss out on the top four, too. So we traded away a pick, and it's not for nothing, too. You got Vooch, and that's the most important thing.
Right.
I think my biggest question now is not necessarily the frustration about what they've done over the weekend, in terms of, at least you and I believe, that they actively were trying to lose those games or put themselves in the best position to lose those games. The thing that I'm curious about now is Zach LaVine. Is he part of this conversation, or is he on the outside and given like a choice? It's like, we know you only have 1 year left on your deal. You can wait it out and we can see where we are at a year from now. Or is he part of this conversation too? Is like, hey, this is what we're doing. What do you think about it? That's why I'm curious there, because that'll tell me a lot about what his future is long term. I don't know. This is the first time I've thought about a Zach LaVine potential trade in the offseason for the first time in months, man. And that's something that I'm thinking about this offseason too. I think it's all back on the table if the Bulls, if this is the route, it is like truly development. We're not as close as we thought we were. That's coming back into my mind as well. But those are conversations we can have over the next couple of months, man. But I think it's fair to ask what Zach's opinion is, man. Like, what does he think about this?
I think it's fair. And I would guess that Zach LaVine is not wandering in the dark as far as what AK Eversley and Billy Donovan have in mind. I would guess that given what he showed them this season, he is very much a part of those conversations, or at least, you know, clued in on the nuts and bolts of those conversations. Because as we've said, and, you know, probably not going to make third team All-NBA, which would have been probably the peak of where he would have gotten, certainly not first and second, considering all of the amazing guard seasons we've seen this season. And with the recent stretch of missed games, he's probably not going to get there. Had that been the case, then you were talking about a Supermax extension, and this conversation would have gotten much more complicated. But given where we are now, again, I think that Zach and his agent will look at the reality of the situation and say, let's see how next season goes. Unless he is so in love with playing for this Bulls team and happy where he is and is completely bought into the plan that AK and Eversley have laid out for him behind closed doors, that he says, sure, I'll sign an extension. Heck, I'll even take a discount so that you got more cap space to work with, to bring me more talent, to come help me win. And I think it goes back to one of our mailbox discussions from last week, as a caller brought up, and rightly so. Zach and Vooch are two all-stars, and kudos to them for that. They are all-stars, no questioning that. Are they a good enough duo to lead your team with other complementary pieces to championship contention? No, probably not. You probably need to find a third star, or maybe move one of those stars and bring in a superstar, or keep building like that. If that's the case, you know, they have a lot of different avenues they can go this offseason. But again, this obsessing over missing a play-in where, hey, guess what? This new weird play-in thing is only 2 years old, and I have still been thinking this whole time, like, okay, it's 1 through 8. 9 and 10, one quote-unquote playoff game. Like, man, who gives a shit? I don't. I know Zach wants to make the playoffs. Salty, I know he's been like harping LeBron about it. Thad Young's been harping about it. Me, long-term, wanting this team to get back to the playoffs and competing, I could not care less about the play-in this year. Could not care less.
You and LeBron are salty about the play-in. I don't know why, but you and LeBron extra salty. LeBron just extra salty that he's going to actually have to play an extra couple of games, and it's embarrassing that they're at that point. But I digress.
Would I rather see the Bulls play one quote-unquote playoff game, lose that game, and say, well, we kind of made the playoffs sort of weirdly, one time for one game? Or would I rather the Bulls have 20% more better odds at keeping a top four pick this summer that AK and Eversley can use to keep building this team? Give me choice B a million times out of a million. Are you kidding me? Any Bulls fan who would rather see one playoff game for Zach and this current squad this season than increase their chances at a top four pick in the 21 draft is clinically insane.
I mean,
sorry.
It depends on when you would ask that. If you ask that at the trade deadline before Zach goes out with COVID, I don't think it's that crazy. But if you ask it, yeah, during this stretch and what the significance and the importance of it is now, not so much. So I get it. Like I'm fully accepted now that this is the route that it's going to go. Games are going to end in 2 weeks, Matt, and we won't be in the playoffs for the fourth season in a row. And it hurts me to say that. It honestly really hurts me to say that. But hopefully they understand the expectations for next season, man. And we'll have a lot to talk about during the offseason. I want to touch on one more thing, Joe, just game-wise, what we saw from the weekend before we get out of here. But first, Bet Online. Bet Online is your fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You can track all of the action at Bet Online. Get the latest odds, news, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news. Sign up for bonuses and contest information. Head to the website right now or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code Locked On.
Today's episode is also brought to you by our great friends at Built Bar. Try some of their delicious flavors like peanut butter, mint brownie, and salted caramel. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. Great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. Lose a few pounds or maintain your weight while indulging in these delicious treats. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. Take, for example, the Cookies and Cream Bar, one of my favorite flavors, which has 17 whole grams of protein, but only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams net carbs. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, will get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, I don't know if you caught this, but at the end of the Atlanta game, what was going on with Kobe and Tice? Those two were jawing back and forth at each other, and I think it comes down to, at the end, Kobe got frustrated towards the end of that game, and he was trying to do a lot of it himself, and he went up and missed a couple of baskets, but I did notice that him and Tice were not on the same page, especially at the end of the game, but Kobe went to the, like, so the offensive play happened. Kobe comes down, goes right-handed for a layup off of a screen from Tice. Tice is rolling to the basket wide open. All it would have taken is one easy bounce pass. Kobe White's made that pass a million times. And instead, he tried to struggle up a shot at the rim. Luckily, he got fouled. But even at that point, Tice is yelling and jawing back and forth with Kobe. And they're talking as Kobe is shooting his free throws. The play continues to happen. Another 30 seconds, quarter over, game over. And you see as they're panning out, you still see Kobe and Tice going back and forth at each other. So I was curious. Neither of them talked at the post game, but I was curious what that was about. But I guess I can guess. It was Kobe not hitting Tice because on easy buckets, even they were down 9 or 11 at one point. But did you notice that at the end of the game or any of the frustrations between that and the Bucks game?
Yeah, I did. So I didn't watch the Hawks-Bulls game live Saturday night because I was too busy enjoying the gorgeous weather we had here in Chicago Saturday. So I watched it on Sunday, and I definitely, you know, was struggling through it because, as you know, you and I just broke down, I was pretty aware of what was going on and the Bulls not really trying to win that game. So, yeah, I did know, and I think that's exactly what it was. I think that was just Tice being frustrated with a young Kobe White not being aware of what was going on the floor in that moment. And we've seen and even heard admissions from Kobe himself about times where it'll be in the middle of a game and he'll realize that he missed somebody. He's talked about it. Like, yeah, I missed Tice on that slip screen earlier in the game, and then My brother texted me at halftime and said, hey, you missed Tice on that slip screen where he had a roll to the hoop. So, like, look for that in the second half. And then Kobe looked for it and hit it in the second half. That was from a game earlier last week prior to the weekend doubleheader. And he's a young guard, and we have acknowledged the fact that so far through his first two NBA seasons, he does not appear to have great court vision and awareness when it comes to running those half-court sets, seeing who's open, and seeing those plays develop. He's not even excellent, you know, reading a three-on-two fast break and how to make the right read in those scenarios. So it's nothing new, but in game, you know, 60 whatever this was, and you're losing, and you're seeing your seasons, you know, circle the drain, yeah, frustrations and tempers can sometimes boil over even between teammates. Do I think it's like something to be concerned about long term? No. You know, teammates have those moments with each other. I don't think it's a big deal.
I think the reason why I pointed out is, one, if it's a conversation and it's frustrating for both of those guys, I'm hoping that part of why Tice is here is not only to be tough, is also too to teach some of these young guys. And like, I don't have a problem with that, but I wanted to kind of, it would have been nice to hear, like, why were they getting mad at each other? What was Tice saying to him? What was Kobe reacting to? Because clearly, like, Kobe, there's a difference between Kobe missing a read or missing a cut and Kobe doing something out of frustration because he's mad. And I could tell at the end of that game, it was more about him trying to force up shots and do it himself as opposed to, hey, let's get a quick bucket. Let's get back down single digits. See if we can make something of this. Those are the things that have to change next year, man. And honestly, like, Kobe's developing and I like the way that he's playing. I think he's just, people have to be patient with him. And that was I hate to be a Jim Boylan, but that was a learning moment there for Kobe. And, it would have been cool to hear that, but it goes back to even the mental toughness thing that we heard Thad talk about at the end of the Knicks game late last week, man. It was like, is this team mentally tough or not? And he described it, and that's just another one of those cases, even without Zach, where you can see the frustration sort of boiling over.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe Kobe felt like there was more on him to try to do more, to try to provide more. On a night when Zach's still out, Vooch is sitting, like, I got to be the guy tonight. And he was 5 of 16, 1 of 6 from downtown, 4 turnovers, 5 fouls. That's a frustrating night. So if you get towards the end of a night like that, where you just feel like, oh, I'm trying my best, I'm trying to lead this team tonight, and none of it's working, yeah. I mean, it would frustrate the hell out of me too.
I will give them credit though. They stuck around in both of those games. Again, it was just frustrating to watch them lose both of those games. But we clearly talked through it for a half hour. I'm still going to be salty this entire week about it. It makes me bad when they lose games that they shouldn't have. And it was clear, like, Bobby Portis Bucks are beating you. I love BP, but like, Bobby Portis Bucks are beating you. We got some issues. We have some issues.
Let's be honest. Yeah, that team didn't have Giannis that night, and they still were on the second Middleton. Night of a back-to-back. But you still got Middleton. You still got Jrue Holiday, who played great in that game. Like, that's a squad. That Bucks team is no joke. Yes, Giannis is their best player, but even taking Giannis out, the collective talent of that Bucks roster, certainly better than the collective talent of a Zach LaVine-less Bulls team.
Yeah, and Vooch had probably, I don't know, even though I bet you it was worst game of his career in terms of like minutes load. That was an awful game, and we get a little bit more reason of why that happened. But I don't know, man. We get the Sixers tonight. We'll see. Probably put a cap on this by taking the L tonight, but we'll see what
Tech
happens. We'll see what happens.
Give me 0-8 the rest of the way, baby.
Just nobody get hurt. That's all I'm saying. I'm knocking on wood right now. Nobody get hurt.
What's the point of risking Zach or Vooch at this point?
Very true. You want to hit us up with your thoughts, 331-979-1369, the place to do it. Your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Search Locked On Bulls. Every single one of our episodes is up on YouTube, so you can watch us. It's been a lot of fun. We've been doing these the last couple of weeks. So go subscribe if you like watching your podcast as opposed to listening. Go check us out on YouTube. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com